It's A, Jonah. Who wrote most of the New Testament? A, Peter. B, Paul. C, John. B, Paul. Who was the first king of Israel? A, Saul. B, David. C, Solomon. A, Saul. Who was the first woman created by God? A, Leah. B, Sarah. C, Eve. C, Eve. Who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt? A, Moses. B, Aaron. C, Joshua. A, Moses. Who was thrown into a den of lions for praying to God? A, Daniel. B, Ezekiel. C, Jeremiah. A, Daniel. Who was the mother of Jesus? A, Martha. B, Mary. C, Ruth. B, Mary. Who died on a cross for our sins? A, Paul. B, David. C, Jesus. C, Jesus. Who is the disciple who denied Jesus 3 times? A, Peter. B, James. C, Andrew. A, Peter. Great job, everyone. Keep reading God's Word.
All right, good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Hope you're doing good this afternoon, this evening. So good to be here. Had a great service this morning. And I heard something happen in children's church this morning by a little girl named Zoe over here. Anything you want to tell us, Zoe? You got saved. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. We are rejoicing with you, and there is rejoicing in heaven, the Bible says. So what a blessing. What a blessing. And we will get you on the calendar to get baptized soon. We got a few others that need to get baptized as well. And Brother David, he's had the baptistry already fixed now for some time, and I just realized it. So thank you, Brother David, on that. But we'll get that lined up here soon. We'll work out with some dates, get some dates set up, see what.
She ran up to me in the children's home and she said, "A prayer has been answered. I'm your sister now."
That's a blessing. What a blessing. And amen to that. All right, well, we're going to do things a little different tonight. And Brother Allen, he's at home not feeling well. And Brother Dakota, he's at a graduation. And so Brother Randy, he's going to bring us a congregational and maybe something else in just a moment. But we'll do offering here. Let's see. Should we go ahead and... men, could we get a couple offering plates and come on down front? Just a couple of men there, and we'll try to. And
while the guys are coming down, y'all go ahead and turn in your song book to page 120. Let's all stand and sing "Victory in Jesus" together. Wait a minute.
Come on, guys. Glory, how we gave his a couple things here this evening. Again, we had a great graduation service this morning. We are still rejoicing with our graduates. So very proud of you. And you have our continued prayers as you move forward in your life. Had a good men's prayer meeting not long ago, actually. Did some just good talking about the church and just being excited about different potentials and possibilities, and just talk about how excited we are with Dakota and family, and good Lord willing, Miss Ashley and Mike here soon will be joining in with us to help out here at the church, and so we had a good time there. I'm sure the ladies had a good CLU meeting, and had a wonderful speaker today. And we appreciate Miss Sharon and stepping in to speak there. Again, we just have a lot going on. Grab a bulletin. Just remember movie night on the 31st at 7 o'clock. And Brother Dakota mentioned this morning that we need some help with that, a little more help. He didn't tell me exactly in what areas, but if you just see him whenever he's here, or reach out to me. I can get to him if you're interested in that. And we'll work that out. So remember that. And again, we're going to try to do an outreach on the 24th. And I know that too is a short notice. But if you're able to help and you would like to, don't need a whole lot of people. But we're just going to take about an hour and go over here to the skate park, try to talk to some folks, and hand out some church tracts and invite people to our movie night. And so that'll be a good little time. But anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. Let's pray. And whatever Brother Randy may have for us, he's going to do. And then we want to bring you the message for tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Thank you for this day that you've given to us. I pray that, Father, that we would just be good back to you, just a portion of which you've been good to us. And thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for the young people of our church and those who graduated, Lord. We're so thankful for them. We pray as they move forward in life that you'd be with them and continue to direct their lives, their pathways. And Lord, just help us continue to be about your business. Be a light here in this community, telling people about Jesus, inviting people to church, just being kind, giving a handshake, a warm smile. Anytime we're in public, Lord, I believe that's what you want us to do, is just let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify you, Lord, in heaven. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. So,
much of my
Amen to that. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't throw us away whenever we slip and stumble? We slip, we stumble, we fumble, we crumble. And he just picks us up and starts all over again. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Randy, our five-tool guy. He is everywhere doing everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you, brother. All right, tonight we're going to be in Revelation chapter number 3 for a few moments. Revelation chapter number 3. We want to bring a lesson, a message, a word to you tonight out of the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want to talk about a certain church tonight that I feel is relevant to today. Of course, all these churches, there are seven churches named in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. But this one in particular has got my attention for this evening. That is the Church of Sardis. And in fact, that is the title tonight, The Church in Sardis. The Church in Sardis. Notice, if you would, I just want to read the first three verses. These chapters are packed with truth and packed with history, and it takes time to go through these verses. So we're just going to look at verse number 1, 2, and 3 tonight and try to make some application to us tonight and as we're living in this church age. All right? Revelation 3, verse number 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful," notice this, "and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee." Again, we're going to stop reading there. The chapter continues on a few more verses. But by way of introduction tonight, as we get into this lesson, I want to say that I do feel like it's necessary to mention some of these churches from time to time. We're living in the church age, as I said. This is the time that the local church doors are open, the body of Christ. We as believers are still here. And there is coming a time, according to Scripture, that we believe that the Lord Jesus will come back for His church, His bride. We are the bride of Christ, and He is the groomsman. And so we know that there is a period of time that we're living in now known as the church age. We congregate together. We come in here. We worship the Lord. We speak about the Lord. We receive encouragement. We go out and share what we've learned. That's the age we're living in. But there's coming a time when that age will be closed. Just like, I like to compare it to when Noah preached for all of those years and he built that ark. There's a storm coming. There's judgment coming. And be ready. Get into the ark. And we know that there came a day when the door of that ark, it closed. And it was over. And honestly, like in parallel form, and like a shadow of the Old Testament to the New Testament, that's going to be a lot like the Lord's return when he comes for the church. We're preaching now. We're teaching now. We're saying, come and get into the ark. Come and get into the safe place. There's refuge in Jesus. Come now. There's coming a very bad time upon this world. And all of those things, be safe, accept Jesus. Come and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Because there's coming a day when that's not going to be available. And so we feel that it's timely to speak on these churches. I will say this, that Sardis is located 50 miles east of Izmir, Turkey. Izmir, Turkey. Sardis, the ruined capital. I'm sorry, Sardis being the ruined capital of ancient Lydia. And so, on the Bible timeline, we are living in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, and of course, Revelation chapter 4, and verse number 1. We believe that's the account, that's the picture of the rapture of the church. Chapter 4, verse 1, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so, if I could, for a few moments, I kind of want to just refresh our memory on these churches, how many they are, the names of them, and then we will get into the church of Sardis. And so there were seven churches represented in chapters 2 and chapter 3. There's the church of Ephesus. There's the church of Smyrna. There's the church of Pergamos. The church of Thyatira. The church of Sardis. Philadelphia. And then Laodicea. These were seven literal churches, but also they represent time periods in the church age. They are interpreted corporately as the local church, but also I believe they can be interpreted individually unto the individual. I say that because in chapter 3, verse 6, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it can be interpreted corporately, but and applied corporately, interpreted individually, and applied individually. These seven churches are also called candlesticks here in Revelation. And the seven stars are the angels or messengers or pastors of the churches. In chapter number 1, in verse number 20, the Bible says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, or messengers, or pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Listen, I know this is a lot in here. That's why I'm trying to unpack it slowly and little by little, but we're not going to get that far tonight. The candlesticks are representative of the churches. A candle gives light, and the church is that light that is in the community and supposed to be giving off light in the community. We are a candlestick. Like the scripture says, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. We are to give light. And so we are a candlestick. And these churches represent candlesticks. The stars represent the angels or messengers or pastors. We also know, if you notice with me, and let's see, we're in chapter number 1. In verse number 13, that the Lord is fully aware of each church's activity. Listen to this, chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. It says there, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He's talking about the Son of God being in the midst of the churches. And so what a blessing to know we are still living in the church age. And it doesn't matter if there's one here, Brother Ceylon, if there's two here, if there's three, if there's 300 here. What's most important is there is one here who died for the church, who is alive and well, and who is observant to each and every church. He is in the midst of the church. Now, we get to that last church, the church of Laodicea, and we see that he is on the outside knocking, trying to get back in his church. That is the church age in which we live. Laodicea was a lukewarm church. And you know, and you have to wonder sometimes, are we having so many ministries and so caught up in numbers that we are getting the Lord out of the church, or are we focused on the Lord and Him constituting the ministries that we have? Are we focused on Jesus and ministering to hearts and to lives and to souls? You know, you just wonder, what is it that makes a church grow cold, is what you begin to wonder. Now, we know that the stars are in God's hand. The Bible talks about that. Let's see, the seven candles, seven stars. They are in the hands of the Lord. And what a blessing that is to know that the angels, the stars, are in the hand of the Lord. The pastors are in the hands of the Lord here in the midst of these seven churches. He talks about the stars and how they're in the hands of the Lord. And so what a blessing that is. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to me to know that I am in God's hand as I attempt to even lead a church and oversee a church and be the under-shepherd of a church. What a blessing it is to know that that God has me in His hand in order to do this great task. Now, back to Sardis, chapter number 3. Sardis pictures the cold church. In fact, Sardis was cold to the touch. There's a book out, it's been out for a long time, by Tom Rainer, and it's called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. That's a good book to read. There you can realize a lot that's going on in the church age in which we live and in churches. But notice what he says in chapter 3, verse 1, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead." So they had a name that they were alive and well, but he says there's a coldness to the church. It's actually the church of the living dead. They're alive, but the Bible says it's as though you were dead. Cold to the touch. Have you ever been in such a church as that? That it was cold to the touch. I mean, people were congregating together. People were having church. But there was a coldness there. There was a sense that God wasn't around. And so this church here, it pictures the cold church. And they were dead and they were in need of a resurrection. So there's much that we can glean on a church level, but also an individual level as well, this church, the Church of Sardis. And so let me mention these things briefly, and we'll be through tonight. Number one, there's the reality of the church. And there's two realities about this church found in verse number one. Number one, they were powerfully addressed. They were addressed by the Lord, but then they were I can't even read my handwriting tonight. They were powerfully addressed, but also they were wearing a mask. They were wearing a mask, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Notice this. He says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, and here it is, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says the seven spirits of God. Now, we know that this is the Lord speaking. You say seven spirits of God. I thought there was, you know, I thought it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the Trinity. But yeah, this actually speaks, and it uses, has the word seven here. Now, seven is the number for completion. It's the number for perfection. The number seven is. Don't turn there, but back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Then chapter 2, in verse number 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work and rested. And so the number 7 there, he had made everything, and it was good, it was complete, and then he rested on that seventh day. The number 7 is the number for completion or perfection. Also, I love the number 7 in 2 Kings 5, where Elisha told Naaman the leper to go and wash, to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And when he did that on the 7th time, he was healed of his leprosy. So 7 is that number of completion and perfection. So when he mentions these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God, I believe this has to do with the completeness of Christ. Christ is completely furnished with the Spirit's ability and operations. He has all power and is able to influence and invigorate the heart and mind of the stars, the pastors, but that are in his hand, but also all believers as well. For he and the Spirit are one. So this powerful address comes from the Lord himself. And this is a reality of the church. The Bible says, and the angel of the church in Sardis write. He's speaking to John. I want you to write this letter to this church, and it's going to be addressed by me. And so we see that these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God. God is completely furnished with all of the Spirit's abilities and operations, for he and the Spirit are one. I love what Colossians 2 in verse number 10 says. It says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We have a complete salvation. We are completely loved. We are empowered completely. So when it comes to this number 7, it has to do with completion. It has to do with ability. It has to do with Jesus being all that we need. So he is mentioned in this letter. He's saying, these things saith he that hath all ability. These things saith he that has all power, all sufficiency. He's speaking to a church that has grown cold. He's wanting them to know that I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm aware. I'm able. I can revive. I can invigorate. And so that's what we see here. The reality of the church has to do with it being powerfully addressed. But then, not only that, we see that there is a reminder of its hypocrisy. He says this, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. So the name here is reputation. They had a name that they were alive and that they were a lively church. Sardis was one of the greatest cities in the world at its time. Their wealth was legendary. But eventually it led the way to moral decay. They were lethargic, and their past glory was a memory. So when John wrote this letter, Sardis was wealthy, but they were degenerate. They had a name that they were alive, but Jesus said they were dead. Listen, we may be able to fool man, we may be able to fool each other, but God knows really what we are on the inside. And so this was Sardis. This church was experiencing spiritual death. Despite of its reputation being alive, it was infested with sin. They had a form of godliness, but no power. They had a reputation, but no relationship. They were eye pleasers. They were a faded glory. They had religious routines, but they were cold to the touch. Kind of like having a shiny car in the driveway, but it won't even crank. What good is that shiny car that won't crank? And so we have, number one, the reality of the church. But then I want us to look at the responsibility of the church in verse number two. He says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God." So this responsibility was fivefold, I believe, that they were to do because of their current condition. So what were they to do? The pastor got up and read the letter to the congregation. The first thing was, be watchful. Be watchful. Watchful here, it means to be awake. They went to sleep spiritually. You know what Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2 verse 1? He said he was going to stand upon his watch. He said he was going to be at his post. He was not going to fall asleep on the job. And so the writer here says, I want you to be watchful. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep on the jobs. Whatever post you're supposed to be at, be there and be watchful. So their responsibility was to be watchful. Ephesians 5:14, the Bible says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Christ has light that He wants to give us tonight. He has light. You know, we mentioned this morning, walk in the light, for He's in the light, when we have fellowship with one another. You know, some of us are walking more in the light than others are. And so we have a group of people tonight that some are all in, some are maybe half in, half out. Maybe some are just got exposed to the light. Have one this morning, just got exposed to the light. And so the challenge is, no matter how much light that you have, it's to be responsible with the light that we have, the knowledge that we have, what we know to be true and what God wants. We are to be watchful. We are to be to keep awake. We are to be at our post. We are to just be alert and aware. He says, be watchful. But then he says, strengthen. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are getting ready to die. Strengthen. It means make firm. Literally, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to make firm. What does that look like? Working out. Lily and I have a gym membership. She goes more than I, but we go to Crunch in Hiram, Crunch Fitness. I just like the name. Can anybody tell me why I like that name? I just love crunching on things. So I was doing great until it got around my birthday time. You know, I was working out every day and dieting, doing great. And then my birthday happened, and it set me back. That's all I can say. It set me back. So now I was, instead of going in with her, I park in the parking lot, and I let her work out. And I just get caught up on some stuff. I may rest, whatever, you know, and then she comes out, and then we go home. But it's my desire this week to go back in, just so you know, because I need to strengthen some things. Okay, that's getting ready to die. All right, and that's what that's the idea here. He says there's some things that are getting ready to die over there at Sardis, and you know, there's some ministries that's getting ready to die. It looks like there's some people that's getting ready to die, and some people's faith that doesn't look strong and needs to be worked out. And he says, what you need to do, realize I'm here, I'm in the midst. The pastors are in my hands. Be watchful and get to exercising. Strengthen the things which remain. You know, we need to strengthen our commitments to Christ, don't we? I'm sure there's some areas where we need to strengthen our commitments there. Our faith needs to be strengthened, and our faith is strengthened through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to strengthen each other. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder tonight, who came in here with a heavy heart? I wonder if there's somebody here who's facing a terrible time or a tough time. I'm sure there is. We come together to exhort one another. We come together to share our burdens. A burden shared is half as heavy. And so that's what we are to do. We can glean that tonight. Calvary Baptist Church, we should be watchful, be at our post, but also we should strengthen, make firm, literally to resolutely turn in a certain direction. We are to do these things, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. I mean, honestly, that's one reason why I wanted the men to have prayer tonight. Not that I feel like we're getting ready to die around here, per se. But I'm just excited about the additions we have. The direction, meaning the people, and Dakota, and Brooke, and again, Ashley, and hopefully, and her husband, Mike. And I spoke with her recently, you know, all of those things. Listen, I'm going to rejoice over the least little thing, the biggest thing. Anytime there's rejoicing available, I'm going to rejoice. I just want to strengthen some things. I want our ministry to be strengthened. I want us to pray, and I want us to go the second mile. And listen, I'm speaking to members here that's been here way longer than I have, and you've done those things. You've done those things. But it's time that we rally around each other and begin to strengthen ourselves. Nehemiah 2:18 says, they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands. They needed to have strength in their hands. In the work that's laid out before us, we gotta have strong hands. I like what David said about hands. David says, the Lord He taught me how to fight, my hands how to fight, my fingers to fight. God taught me that. And so we need our hands to be strengthened. We need many things to be strengthened. We got a work ahead of us, and it's going to take God Almighty to do that. Let me mention this. The responsibility of the church to be watchful, to strengthen the things that remain. But then in verse number 3, he says, remember. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He says, remember. What are we to remember? He says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. I believe he's talking about the gospel. Reflect on your salvation experience. Exercise your memory. Remember the gospel that was preached. Remember the gospel that was embraced. I like the song that we sang, We Will Remember. It says, I still remember the moment you saved me. The other song that we sang when I got saved, in that song it says, what great jubilation the night I got saved. I think it would do us all some good, starting with me, to remember in my life how I received and what I heard. I heard the gospel. I received the gospel. I don't want to fall out of love with the Lord. I want to stay in love with the Lord. You know, the church of Ephesus, chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Lord says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He didn't say lost your first love, but left. Once you meet Jesus and embrace Jesus, you can't lose them. But we can definitely leave them. And so I want to be the kind of Christian, the kind of person that remembers, keeps fresh in my memory, on my heart daily, of how I used to be and what God is doing now. Remember. And then he says, hold fast. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Hold fast. That the words hold fast means to guard, to keep the eye upon. We need to hold fast those memories. Hold fast the doctrine of Christ. Hold fast the Word of God. Don't allow it to slip. Hebrews 2:1 says, it tells us to take heed concerning the things we heard, lest they should slip. We've got a lot of people that's slipping in the church age. Their grip has been loosened on the Bible. You know, I was talking with someone the other day about bull riding. And I believe I knew the answer to the question, but I wanted to ask the bull rider. I was talking to a bull rider, and I wanted to know what he said, what he thought. I said, what's the most important part about bull riding? And I knew the answer. He said, it's all about the grip. They have, of course, the saddle, whatnot, or they get on the bull, and there's a grip that's involved. And I believe it's 8 seconds there to stay on that thing. 8 seconds. And if they make it past 8 seconds, then they make it. But it's all to do with that grip. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me on a bull? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. Back thrown out. Glasses flying off my face. You know, boots flying off. But that grip. You know, and in like manner, if I could say it that way, he says, hold fast. Hold fast the Bible. Listen, we're living in evil days, and they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. So many different. Brother Don Rich taught Wednesday night, and he talked about every wind of doctrine and all of that. There's so many different beliefs out there going around. Let us hold fast. Hold our Bibles, the truth of God's Word. And so when the storms come by and that bull starts going every which way, life is hard, difficult. We got a grip on it. And then he says, repent here. We know what that means. Reconsider your ways. Do a 180. Turn and go the other way. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Turn, go another way. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This could be reference here to the return of Christ. He's just saying, be ready. Keep your grip. Remember the hold fast the scriptures. Remember when you got saved, and keep it afresh in your mind. Keep in love with Christ. Strengthen the things that remain. Be watchful and just know that Jesus is the one saying this to you. That's what the letter says. This is God, this is the Lord speaking. And tonight I want to say that this letter is certainly from the Lord, like every letter in the Bible. But this particular one we're talking about tonight, It's words from God. It's words in red. It's the whole Bible is from God. The whole Bible is God's word. But tonight, this is to the churches. And that's what I want to share tonight, is the church in Sardis. Is that they were a cold church. And I don't ever want us to be that way. I don't feel like we are. I feel like we have life here. I feel like there's been life here. But it's our job to strengthen the things that remain, that may be ready to die, to keep that candlestick brightly shining right here in Powder Springs till Jesus comes. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I just pray that you would take the message tonight. We've tried our best to get it out, to make it to make sense. And Lord, I just pray that we would glean some things from this church, Church of Sardis, and just apply ourselves. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Lord, these are Sunday night churchgoers. They're faithful to you, Lord. But help us, Lord, to just continue to keep a tight grip on this thing called life, keeping you first. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to go ahead and dismiss tonight. Does anybody got anything to say? Anything to add? Okay, I thought I seen a hand up. All right. Do we have a hand up over here or no? Okay. Anybody else got anything to mention at all? All right, thank you so very much. Hope everyone has a blessed evening. Be safe. And hold your family close. If you already know, keep the Lord first. And we are here if you need us, that's for sure, this week. All right? All right. Well, just consider yourself dismissed tonight. God bless you.